admonish you to pray every day, but we're to pray without ceasing. I'd like to also remind you of our Thursday morning prayer meetings. I believe that a lot of what the Lord's done lately is because we've been asking Him to. And so please come and help us pray Thursdays at 11:30 if you're here in town. And just stop wherever you're at on Thursdays at 11:30. Set an alarm on your phone, a reminder, and stop wherever you're at and pray. We can agree together wherever we are in prayer, and God hears that. He blesses that. Acts chapter 20, verse 18. I want to give you some practicalities and great reminders tonight about evangelism this morning. We asked the question, are you ready? Paul said, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And we tried to answer that question, are we ready to preach the gospel? I want to give you a few practicalities. And some of you have heard a lot of these truths before. And I got to be honest with you, a lot of times when I hear messages like this, though I've heard it before, it's like I'm hearing it for the very first time because I forget. I'm prone to forget. I need to be reminded. And so we want to learn about some practicalities of evangelism tonight and over the next few weeks, Lord willing. We'll have more messages on Sunday morning, more practicalities on Sunday night. So I hope you'll be a part of that. The fact that a lot of you were here this morning and knew what we were going to talk about and you came back, I'm going to believe that that's why you're here tonight and that it has nothing to do with the cake. Because you're far too spiritual for it to be about the cake. You just let me believe what I want to, okay? Let's stand together. Acts chapter 25, verse 18, if you can. And before we pray, let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for this day. And Lord, I thank you for all who have come tonight. I pray as we approach your holy word, that we would approach it with the reverence and the seriousness that we should. Lord, we are about to read the very words of God. And I pray that that would resonate in our hearts. I pray that your Holy Spirit would move through the reading and preaching of your word, that it would convict our hearts. I pray that we can gain some practical things that will help us to be better soul winners. And Father, I pray that you would make us soul winners. That you would use the men and women and boys and girls that are in this church to reach other men and women and boys and girls that are in our communities around us. Lord, help us to be faithful in our witness. Help us to be bold in our witness. Help us to preach and speak the truth in love. And Lord, help me now, for I'm nothing without you. I confess that I failed you so many times to be a faithful witness, and I pray you'd forgive me, and I pray that you'd help us all to be better witnesses for you. Please bless as we look into your word now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at verse 18. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Tonight, as we consider personal evangelism, some practical things, I want you to notice very quickly, Paul is meeting with the elders, or what we would call pastors, from Ephesus. There were several pastors that were in the churches there in Ephesus, and he called for them. He was on his way to Jerusalem. This was the beginning of the end for Paul. He was going to go to Jerusalem. He would be arrested. It would be many years, but ultimately, this trip to Jerusalem would lead him to Rome, where he would eventually die for the cause of Christ. And so he knew this was going to be the last time he would meet with those pastors or elders. He met with them at Miletus. And when he meets with them, he reminds them, listen, you remember how I was with you at all seasons. Listen, Paul wasn't on fire for Christ sometimes and cold sometimes. He wasn't a faithful witness sometimes and unfaithful at other times. He was the same all the time. It was the same all the time. It didn't matter what time of year it was. He was faithful in his service for the Lord. So at all seasons, he was this way. And he said, I serve the Lord with all humility of mind. It would be good for us to remember that we ought to be humble as we go and preach the gospel to other people. We are not better than anybody else. And too many times as good missionary Baptists, we tend to stick our noses up and look down those Pharisaical noses at the world around us and their deplorable condition and their sin. But it shouldn't be that way, brethren. We are just beggars who have found bread, trying to tell other beggars where they can find bread. And we're not better than anybody else. And he, the great Apostle Paul, had great humility as he served the Lord. So we ought to have humility. He says, with many tears and temptations. Yeah, they were after him. The Jews wanted to kill him. They were always after him. But he had tears. I want you to know his tears weren't always for himself. As a matter of fact, I think they weren't very often for himself. His tears were for others. I think he shed tears for the Jews that wanted to kill him. He said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they would be saved. He said, I wish I could count myself accursed so that they could be saved. He shed tears for the ones who wanted to kill him. He shed tears for those that were Ephesus, that they would be real followers of Christ. And so he had much tears. He had much tribulation, temptation that he went through. And I want you to notice that he didn't hold back anything that was profitable unto them, but showed them and taught them publicly and from house to house. Listen, our theme in this series of messages is go. The command is to go. Go and preach the gospel. Go and teach all nations. Go and give people the gospel. And so as he went, publicly as he went from house to house, he didn't hold anything back that was profitable. I wonder how many times have you and I held back what was profitable to somebody else? What a testimony to be able to say, I didn't hold anything back that was profitable to you. Brothers and sisters, I would submit to you that we are all guilty from time to time of holding back what is profitable to other people. But he didn't hold back, but publicly and from house to house, he did this, verse 21, testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, I want you to know that is the gospel. Jesus came preaching, repent and believe the gospel. We turn from our sin to God and we put our faith in Christ alone. That's the gospel. It's repentance toward God and faith unto our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he was faithful to do as he went. And so let me give you a few practical things. As we see Paul testifying, if you study the book of Acts, you'll find those apostles and those in the church, they were preaching, they were teaching, they were witnessing, they were reasoning, they were persuading, they were testifying. All these words describe what they did. And friends, that's what we ought to do. We ought to go and proclaim the good news. We ought to proclaim it. That's preaching. We ought to teach them. We ought to explain to people concisely and clearly what the gospel is. We ought to reason with them because the gospel is reasonable. The reality of God, the reality of a need for a Savior is reasonable. We understand that. Everybody knows that we're not good and we need a Savior. We ought to persuade men. We ought to give them convincing truths from the Word of God. All of those things that were done, we ought to do. Let me give you some practicalities tonight if you're taking notes. And let me just say as a side note, you ought to take notes at church. I just want to admonish all of you to get a notebook and bring it to church with your Bible. And you don't, this is not a college class, so I'm not trying to tell you that you need to write down every word that I say. But I'm telling you this, when I listen to preaching, I always take notes. And what I do is the Holy Spirit convicts me about something or something strikes me from the message, I write that down. I'm not trying to get an outline out of the deal. I'm just trying to write down the things that God is resonating with my heart, that he's impressing on my heart. So please get a notebook and bring it and take notes. It'll help you in your walk with Christ. You take those notes, review them later, and it's good. Because how many of you remember what I preached the next day? Anybody? I don't even remember what I preached the next day sometimes. So we need those notes so we can remember. Amen? All right, you look convinced. Right. Abigail's back there grinning from ear to ear because she just wants another notebook. She loves notebooks. Yes, Daddy, I need another notebook. Okay. Number one. If we're going to be effective in our witness, we have to schedule a time to go. How many of you know this truth? What gets scheduled gets done. What gets scheduled gets done. If you ever need something from me, please don't ever say to me, hey, Brother Isaac, whenever you get time, can you do this? Because I promise you, that will never get done. I've got a list longer than I can imagine of things that I need to get done, and I'm going to forget whatever it is. If you want me to do something, then you need to say, hey, Brother Isaac, can we schedule a time for you to do this? And some of you right now, oh, that's why he never did that. Yeah, that's it. What gets scheduled gets done. And I believe that soul winning ought to be a priority for everyone in this church. I believe that soul winning ought to be a priority for everyone in this church. Man, I'm gonna give you one more chance, okay? Third time's a charm. I believe that soul winning ought to be a priority for everyone in this church. And if it's a priority, then it needs to get scheduled. Some of you find your health to be a priority. That's why, even though you hate to, you schedule appointments to go to the doctor. You know, because you don't want to die of heart disease. Right? Now, most of you don't love going to the dentist, but you will schedule an appointment to go to the dentist, a thing that you do not like to do, but you do it because you find it necessary. Because getting your teeth cleaned regularly is better than a root canal. Sister Phyllis said, amen. All right. So we what gets scheduled gets done. It ought to be a priority. We ought to schedule it. Listen, that's why it's on our schedule here at Calvary. We have consistently striven to go out week by week. Since I've been here at Calvary, we've had it on the calendar to go soul winning outreach once a week. And we've had it all over the week. We've had it on Saturdays and Thursdays and Mondays and Tuesdays. And we've tried to find the best fit. But right now it's on Tuesdays at 6:00. We meet here at the church. We get a stack of tracts and a map and we pray. And we go out into our community and we try to preach the gospel. It's on the schedule because it's important. Now, some of you can't make it on Tuesday night, so you know what you need to do? You need to schedule it some other time. But it has to be on our schedule or it won't get done. It has to be on our schedule or it won't get done. We've got a purpose in our heart. If it's not on the schedule, it's not going to happen. If it's not on the schedule, it'll be too hot, it'll be too cold, it'll be too wet, it'll be too dry. There'll be some excuse. So we've got to have it on our schedule. I want to remind you tonight that you don't need a special burden to go soul winning. You have a command. So we've got to put it on our schedule. Number two, as important as it is to schedule a time to go, we have to be soul conscious. We have to learn to be soul conscious. We need to be soul winning all the time. It's important to have it on a schedule, but it shouldn't just be a schedule. It ought to be something that we do all the time. We need to think on the things that are spirits. We need to think on the eternal things. We need to remember that every person on the planet is going to spend eternity somewhere. How many of you believe in heaven? How many of you believe in hell? And do you understand there's no other options? Your Catholic friends think there's a place called purgatory that doesn't exist. It's either heaven or it's hell. That's it. And every person that passes into eternity, the 151,600 people on average that die every day, every one of them dies and they wake up either in heaven or in hell. And the only thing that's going to determine the difference is what they do with Jesus Christ. And some of them will never know how to believe on Jesus Christ if we don't go and tell them. How shall they hear without a preacher? And so, friends, we've got to schedule time, but it can't just be that schedule time. It's got to be something that's natural, that we're thinking on the spiritual, we're thinking on the eternal, and as you go. You remember Matthew 28, 18 through 20, where Jesus tells us, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go make disciples. Well, the tense of that verb go literally means as you are going. It's not a one-time thing, but as you go through your daily life, you ought to go. Had an opportunity the other day to talk to a young man, and it just so happened that he was riding in the vehicle with me, so he couldn't get away. That's why I used to pick up hitchhikers, but then we had kids, and I got in trouble for that, so I don't do that very often anymore. And if I do, I don't tell anybody. You get somebody in the vehicle with you, they're either going to listen to the gospel or they're going to have to jump out of a moving vehicle. I figure that's pretty good. But this young man was in the vehicle with me, and I got to give him a gospel track, and I got to preach the gospel to him. I wasn't on soul winning. It wasn't on a Tuesday night. It wasn't an intended thing. It was just as I was going. And it happens all the time. Listen, those poor kids at the Piggly Wiggly have got stacks of tracks from me. And I ask them every time, hey, did you get one of these? They're like, yeah, I've got three of them. Well, did you read it? Well, I haven't had a chance yet. Okay, in the last 5 years, you haven't had a chance. Young lady told me just this morning at the pig, she said, I usually leave one laying here so people can read it. So people can read it when they're up here working. And she's read it, and she said she's going to come as soon as she gets a chance. As you're going, there's opportunities all around us every day that we can share the gospel with other people. You see, I believe in divine appointments. I believe God brings people into our paths. I want to tell you that we ought to go. We have a commandment to go. We have a commandment to be witnesses. Does anybody remember what the greatest commandment is? What's the great commandment? It's okay. This is interactive. You can speak. Anybody have any idea what the great commandment is? Love the Lord, your God, with all your... Yeah, that was mostly right, it sounds like. This is good. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. I want to ask you a question. People today tell us we ought to love people. So when we are dealing with somebody, maybe a homosexual or transgender, that we are to love them, not be bigoted, so we don't need to give them the gospel. Tell me something, is that loving? It's not loving to leave someone in their sin and let them go to hell. The most loving thing that I can do for anybody is give them the gospel. If I'm going to love my neighbor, I don't want them to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell, so I don't want them to go to hell. And if I'm going to love them as I love myself, I want somebody to give me the gospel. I praise God that somebody gave me the gospel, so I'm going to give them the gospel. We have a commandment to love others. The greatest way we could love them is give them the gospel. We have a commission to go. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Listen, we have a commandment to love. We have a commission to go and to make disciples. We ought to have a compassion. We ought to have a compassion. Jesus, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Well, let me tell you, friends, when we see the multitudes, it ought to move us to give them the gospel. Be soul conscious. Schedule times to go. Be soul conscious. Number three, always carry gospel tracts. Always carry gospel tracts. I'm so thankful that we live in a day where we can print stuff like this. It is an incredible blessing to have gospel tracts. I want to tell you, the first time I met Brother Daryl, I gave him one of these. It was one just like this. I didn't know it later, but I got to share the gospel with him, and he took the track. He didn't get saved right there, but he told me later that he took that track and he laid it on his desk at work. I don't even think he knows why he kept it, and he certainly doesn't know why he took it to work or why he took it into work, but he laid it on his desk, and every time he would shuffle papers around, there that track would be. And he said it was a long time before he ever even opened it up and read it. I've heard countless stories of people who have taken gospel tracts or found gospel tracts and read them and have been saved just because they found a tract somewhere and read it. You see, this little piece of paper is not like every other little piece of paper, because this piece of paper contains the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the Word of God. That's the seed that gets into people's heart. You see, sometimes we think, I can't be a soul winner. I don't know the right things to say. I don't have all the answers. I don't have all those things. But I think just almost anybody in the world can go, hey, can I give you some good news? I think almost anybody can do that. So I want to plead with you to carry gospel tracts everywhere you go. But don't hang on to them. Give them away. Now, some of you are too scared to walk up to a stranger and say, hey, can I give you some good news? But you can do this. When you go in someplace, you need me to show you again? I can give you step-by-step instructions if you want. Take your stack of tracts out of your pocket or your purse. Lay them neatly on a table in a room where people come. And then walk away. It's not complicated. Hey, listen, if that's where you got to start, that's fine. But most of you are pretty nice people, and it can at least say hi to people. This is Oklahoma. People still wave here. Howdy. I think you can be walking in the store and say, hey, can I give you some good news? hey, will you read this when you get a minute? I usually ask somebody if they'll read it because I want to make them lie to me. I'm hoping God will use that in their conscience. If I say, hey, will you read this when you get time? That they'll say yes, and then later they'll find it and they'll go, I told that guy I'd read it. And they'll feel guilty if they don't. Isn't that good? Always carry gospel tracts. Number four. This may be the most important thing that I tell you tonight. Go in the power of the Holy Spirit. You can carry gospel tracts. You can leave them wherever you go. You can hand them out. You can boldly preach the gospel to your family, friends, neighbors, coworkers, strangers that you meet on the street. You can do all those things. But if you don't do it in the power of the Holy Spirit of God, it will be completely and utterly fruitless. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I want you to know, if we're going to go in the power of the Spirit, we have to relentlessly pray. We've got to pray for God's Spirit to work in us, through us, and in the people we're talking to. We need the Spirit of God to work. If he doesn't move in us, and if he doesn't move in their hearts, nothing's going to happen. I promise you, we've got to go in the power of the Spirit, and he wants to do that. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants to save them. He wants to use us to reach them, but we've got to ask him to be a part of that process, because you can go and do it in your own strength if you want to, or you could have a desire to be effective and ask God to work. We need to remember the promises of God. I want you to look at this, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 through 9. 1 Corinthians 3, 6 through 9. He says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Listen, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive in his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. And this work of soul winning, it's not me, it's God. It wasn't Paul, it was God. It wasn't Apollos, it was God. Listen, it doesn't matter whoever's come before me here, whoever comes after me here, whoever's in your life or whatever work you do, it's not us, it's him. And how is it him? Well, it's his word. It's his word. My word doesn't save anybody. Your word doesn't save anybody. But the scriptures can make you wise unto salvation. It's the word of God. It's his word. And it's his spirit. It's the spirit of God that draws men. It's the spirit of God that works in their hearts. And so we've got to pray and ask God to move. There's a reason Paul prayed that God would open doors of utterance for the gospel, because he knew that if the spirit of God wasn't working in people's hearts and homes, that he would never get in. And I thank God that he does that. When we come up here on Tuesdays and we pray and ask God, listen, I try to share the gospel everywhere I go. When we took that trip to California, there were people on shuttle buses and people in hotel lobbies and people on airplanes. I mean, there was opportunities to witness all over the place. It was great. It really was. It's like when you get out of the house, there's people there. And there's opportunities to share the gospel. But when we go out door to door, I have been amazed at the times God has opened up doors. I mean, there have been times that I've knocked on people's doors, and it's like they were sitting in their living room. I literally had a guy tell me one time, I was just thinking about that. Like, he's been sitting there in his living room night after night just waiting for somebody to knock on the door and tell him how to get saved. And I thank God that he got me up off of my lazy carcass, and I went out there and went to his door, and it got to be me. You know what? It could be you. It could be you. Man, what a privilege we have to have the Spirit of God working in us and through us to bring people to Christ. We have to go in the power of His Spirit. Schedule times to go. If you can't come on our Tuesday night that's scheduled, then you schedule your own time. I promise you there's other men and women in this church who would love to go with you. if you can't come on Tuesdays, but schedule times to go. Be soul conscious. Always be looking for opportunities. Go as you're going. Preach the gospel as you're going. Always carry gospel tracts. Always go in the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage you to ask the Lord for opportunities to share the gospel. Now, some of you are going to be scared to do that because you know what I know. When you ask God for opportunities to share the gospel, He gives them. And so you know, if you wake up in the morning and you ask God to give you an opportunity, Lord, please give me opportunities to be a witness for you today, He's going to give those opportunities. And so ask for them. And number five, go as an ambassador. Go as an ambassador. We are now, therefore, ambassadors for Christ. We're ambassadors for Christ. We represent Him. And I want to challenge you, when you go on soul winning outreach on Tuesdays, or when you go as you're going through your day-to-day life, go and remember that you represent Christ and His church. And we ought to represent Christ and His church well. In particular, when we go door-to-door, let me give you a couple of practical tips real quick. Be clean. Listen, if you got to come straight from work, that's okay. I'd rather you come dirty than not come at all. But if you have opportunity, clean up. Put on some deodorant. Put a mint in your mouth. No, don't chew gum when you're going soul winning, because that's just annoying. You start sounding like a twerpy cheerleader when you're smacking your gum in people's face. But I'm sorry to all the cheerleaders. I didn't mean to offend you just now. But I'm just saying, but use a breath mint. You know, it's going to be offensive if your breath stinks and you can't talk to somebody about Jesus. They can't listen to you because you're about to knock them out with dragon breath. That's not good. Dress decent and modest. It's not my personal conviction. I was taught in seminary that you had to wear a suit to go soul winning. I don't believe that that's the case. As a matter of fact, I think that's highly ineffective in our area. I mean, when you show up in a suit at somebody's house around here, they probably think you're like the FBI or something. So I don't think that's great, but dress decently, dress modest, be cleaned up, represent well. Some of you have jobs. How many of you have jobs where you have to dress, you have a dress code at work? Anybody? A few people where you used to work? Yeah, all your retired people? Okay. But listen, we want to represent well. Be courteous. Number one, be clean. Number two, be courteous. You guys remember the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Those fruits of the Spirit are invaluable. There's no way to estimate how valuable they are when it comes to bringing souls to Christ, bearing that fruit. Because we've got to go in love. We ought to have the joy of the Lord in our lives. We're offering them the way to have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be long-suffering with them because people are dumb and they have crazy ideas, and we have to work through all of that stuff. We need to handle them with gentleness. We shouldn't be quick to get angry. Right? We need to come with them with the goodness of the gospel. We come to them in faith. We have to have a meek spirit. And we have to have temperance. We have to have self-control. People are going to say and do things. And listen, we should never let them provoke us to anger. We should always have a heart for them. These people are trapped by the devil. They're children of the devil. You shouldn't expect anything else from them than to be children of the devil. And so we need to be long-suffering with them and gentle and kind and all of those fruits of the Spirit. So be clean, be courteous. Let me encourage you, when you go soul winning, to listen to people. You can't just follow a step program, and I'm going to give you some of that over the next couple of weeks, some pointers on how to go through the process. But I want to tell you, don't become mechanical about it. Listen to people. If you'll listen to them, you'll figure out where they're at and what their hang-ups are and what it is that's keeping them from coming to Christ. I promise you, it's one of two things. It's either the fact that they're unwilling to repent of their sin, or they really just don't believe. And you can listen and figure those things out. And so listen, be courteous. Be clean, be courteous, be complimentary. Be complimentary. Find something nice to say about somebody. Listen, I've been known to knock on somebody's door and just tell them right off the bat, if you don't get saved, you're going to hell. I don't really subscribe to that approach anymore. It wasn't very effective. Didn't work well. But you talk to people and genuinely care. If they got a nice flower bed, say, hey, your flowers are really nice, or whatever it may be. People love, I mean, that's really their favorite subject. And you should talk about their favorite subject before you talk about your favorite subject. They like to talk about themselves. And we like to talk about Jesus. And so be complimentary. And the last thing here, as being an ambassador, be careful. Be careful. Don't walk in people's lawns, especially when you can tell they care about their lawn. Don't look in the windows. For their sake and for your own sake, do not look in people's windows. Because I promise you, you're going to see things that you can't unsee. And it's not going to be helpful for our church when you're wearing your Calvary shirt and you walk up on somebody's porch and you're gawking in their window. It's not helpful. People don't want to come to church with a bunch of peeping Toms. Okay? So be courteous. Be complimentary. Be careful. Stay off the grass. Don't look in the windows. Don't go in somebody's house alone. That ought to be common sense. But when you're in that situation, if you're at the door by yourself and they say, come in, there's a temptation to just go in. Don't do that. Don't do that. It could be dangerous, and it just doesn't look good. Don't go in somebody's house alone. Be careful to stay on course. I'm amazed at the things people like to talk about when you're soul winning. It seems like for some reason, dinosaurs, ghosts, and aliens always come up. I'm trying to tell you about Jesus, and you want to talk about dinosaurs, ghosts, and aliens. I don't get that. I don't get that. But people will talk about anything under the sun. And here's what I want to tell you to do. When somebody starts trying to get you to chase a rabbit, don't chase the rabbit. Say, you know, that's an interesting question. That's really interesting. Maybe we can get back to that. But would you consider yourself to be a good person? Just whenever they're trying to pull it away, just bring it right back to the gospel. Bring it right back to the gospel. Because they don't want to talk about that. Because they know they need a Savior, and it's uncomfortable. So keep it coming back, and be careful to always leave an open door. I have knocked on people's door, met people for the very first time, and had the privilege of leading them through the gospel and seeing them pray and trust Christ right there on the spot, first time I ever laid eyes on them. That has happened, and I praise God. But that's not what usually happens. Usually we go back again and again and again and again. And we've got to leave an open door. I thank God. Brother Jeff Moore sitting right back there. We about wore that man out going to his house. But I thank God that we never offended him or did anything or got in an argument with him and to the point where he would say, get out of here and don't ever come back. Now, he probably was tired of seeing me coming, but he always let us come in, whether he wanted to or not. And he's sitting here tonight, and he would tell you, you can ask him later, he's glad that we didn't quit knocking on his door. Always leave an open door because you never know. Maybe the first time, maybe the ninth time, but we've got to leave an open door, so be careful. Listen, friends, we have a tremendous opportunity. It's a responsibility, of course, but we have an opportunity to be used of God to reach others with the gospel. So tonight, let's stand together. We're going to have a verse of invitation. And I just want to ask you this. If